That wasn't me. Woo! Are you blessed now? Boom! Now we're ready. Aren't you glad you're here, Jake? They wouldn't believe that anywhere else. We used to live in Texarkana, and it was right off of Route 30, and every once in a while, through the pastor's wireless mic, you'd get a truck driver on his CB, right, the right frequency. They'd drive by, and he'd give you a road condition or a road report or something. Just no charge, right in the middle of the service. So, I am glad you're awake and alive today. We're in John, looking for John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 21 through 36. We're kind of catching up with what happened with Jesus after the resurrection. John's story, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were preaching through the Gospel of John, and then we took a break and was in the Gospel of Mark for Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and now we're back to John chapter 8, and these words are a little bit unique because the audience who heard these words didn't understand them. Jesus talked about what was going to happen after the resurrection, but they had no idea. They couldn't even perceive it. And he was even debating with the people who were about to crucify him, saying that they were blind by not recognizing he was the Christ, but they disagreed with him. And the only thing they could find to do was crucify him to prove that they were righteous. And that's about as ironic as it gets, isn't it? Okay. John chapter 8, verse 21. What page is it on in the Pew Bible? Anybody know? 565. They got it. All right. Verse 21. Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, we see a difference between faith and unbelief, don't we? as we set this example before you, we realize that Jesus is the true manna, the bread of life, the light of the world. He introduces to us the grace of God from the cross. He shows us that we can be forgiven and that sin's grip can be destroyed. Many are willing to call Jesus a prophet. Some would say he was a great prophet, but we declare him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And before us is a holy life, a life that we are able to live, attending to all he teaches. We get to rely on his promise, we get to obey his command, and we get to resist all the temptations the world has to offer. And I'm here to tell you there are many. There are many temptations. There is no place so secret temptation won't find you. When I asked the guys in prison Tuesday night if there's any temptation here, they just laughed. I said, is there any temptation here, or don't those walls keep out all the temptations? They were laughing pretty hard. And the more they thought about it, the more they laughed. And there's no place so secret temptation won't find you. And it is available anywhere, but the power of God is demonstrated that we can live a holy life. Salvation and the strength to live a holy life are given to us through Jesus Christ. It is a carnal heart that has no remorse and no understanding of the captivity of sin. Only Christ can set us free. Do not confuse the devil's offer with you are free to sin with Jesus' offer you can be free from sin. Big difference. Free to sin means a life with the wages of sin is death. Free from sin includes a gift of life everlasting. By faith, we have access to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and even long-suffering. When these words were spoken, Jesus had not left. Nobody had betrayed him. This was before the trial, before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. So it's good for us to reflect on Jesus' words after resurrection. We go back to see what he was saying to these folks who couldn't grasp what he was talking about. These words have new meaning and demand our careful attention because Jesus is talking about his mission. Jesus is on a mission. He is here to help us on our journey of faith. Jesus said, hey, I'm going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot go. Jesus is talking to the people who have witnessed the forgiveness. Well, they have witnessed Lazarus being raised. They've witnessed the 5,000 being fed, the lame walking. But in that case, they were refusing to confess their sin. They are standing before Jesus and they will not admit he is the Christ. They would argue with him rather than confess their sin. And there they were debating him. He's saying, you're blind. We're going, we're not blind. You're captives. We're not captives. That's how you know Jesus is getting close, when you figure out you're arguing with the Lord God Most High. You might want to be careful right about there. Does that make sense? If he has your attention enough to argue with him, you might listen to what he is saying to you. You might enjoy his presence. Can you see how sin binds people? Can you see that a man's heart can get so hard that only the Holy Spirit is able to penetrate that hardness and convict them of sin? Men do not see and believe danger before it's too late, even when there's little lights warning on the dash. It's kind of my favorite story. The guy shows up at the tire store. He said, hey, there's a light on. What's a light? Well, it says something about a tire problem. They go, yeah, this tire back here's off the rim. You need a new tire. You need a new rim. Well, as soon as the light comes on, I gave it 2 days and then I came to see you. Even when you get warning lights, people don't recognize warning lights. Isn't that true? Don't they? I don't even want to tell you. They call them idiot lights. They don't even have gauges anymore, right? Gauges at least tell you it's getting warm. I had somebody ask me one time, how long will that temperature gauge stay up in the red? Probably as long as you drive. Right? Yeah, you got it's yeah. And the Lord's telling us what? The wages of sin is death. You can be free from sin. And people don't hear it. They're deaf to what is being spoken to them. He is speaking to the very men who will put him to death. As a matter of fact, they will put Jesus on the cross to prove they are righteous. How amazing is that? We are so righteous, we have to kill you. See how far we go in self-righteousness? See how far we go in trying to be right and declaring who we are? This story also introduces us to something called the I am statements. In verse 23, he said to them, you were from beneath, I am from above. You remember how God introduces himself to Moses when he says, I am. Tell him I am. And Jesus goes through a series of these I am. I am from above. I am not of this world. But the amazing part is it's hard to convince evil people they're wrong. Isn't it? How do you convince somebody who has evil and has an evil mind that is wrong? In arguing with them in their debates about what evil is. Men just do not believe that they are wrong. As a matter of fact, they brag and parade through the streets. They have no sense of doom because of their unbelief. But I'm here to remind you, God does not grow weary in reaching for men's souls. He has come to redeem the lost. Opportunities like this one are afforded to men. God wants you to hear the word of the Lord. Repent and be baptized like we witnessed here today. If a young child can understand it, what's your excuse? If a little child comes up and says, Pastor, I need to be baptized. I believe Jesus is the Christ. And I'm wondering how this unbelief prevents people from serving and following Jesus. It's because they do not believe. There are many things I've come to tell you. Many things to judge and concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. So I get to tell this to everybody, to those who believe, to those who don't believe. I can preach to the world. Can you hear the urgency that men are dying and that Jesus wants to save men from their sin, that it is God who seeks to save the lost? How about, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son? I get to preach to the world, don't I? And you get to hear along with me, don't you? And you get to nod in agreement and say amen where it's appropriate. Where this morning we had Mallory here. She just said amen all the time. And sometimes I do begin to understand the great debate of the triumphal entry, and God ordains praise out of infants. The children get it, don't they? So Jesus tells these men, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Think about the irony of these words. They believed they were destroying Jesus when they put him on the cross. And he says, you're just going to lift me up. I'm going to prove everything I said is true. Isn't that amazing? They're trying to destroy him. They're trying to discredit him. And he said, the only thing you can do is lift me up. The only thing a sinner can do is prove that the wages of sin are death. And they prove it every day, don't they? They prove it in all the circumstances of life. But these people could not understand that in the crucifixion was the prelude from the resurrection. And after the resurrection, there was going to be a time of teaching and these words would now make sense, and then the ascension, and then Christ would sit at the right hand of the Father. He would be able to confess, it is over. Sin has been defeated. And God's will is done on earth. Does that help at all? Does that give you some... wouldn't it be nice to just have God-like vision? Be able to look at this world and see what God sees? How does a little child become the greatest in the kingdom? Because of belief. They believe. And he goes on to say that he who sent me is with me. And he who was sent is with you. Doesn't that help? You're not alone. Aren't you glad your kids don't go to school by themselves? This is the church crowd, right? Amen's appropriate once in a while. And if you're nodding in agreement and your head stays down, that means something else. It does. Yeah, one long nod and the sermon's over. Yeah, more way than one, right, Art? So we get to pray for the lost, don't we? But we have to watch and pray, don't we? Because sometimes the results are not as instant as Uncle Ben's rice. Isn't that true? Instant rice and prayers are not always answered at the same rate. Microwave is not always God's plan. Isn't that true? If necessary, we pray for the lost. If necessary, we weep and pray, don't we? Sometimes they don't have a clue what they're doing. Isn't that true? I wonder how many people prayed and wept for me in my lifetime. How many times I kept my grandparents up all night, or my parents all night, praying for that boy. Right? Hey, look at your life if you think mine was tough. Without Jesus, you won't believe what people will do. The challenges that are right there. So we pray for the lost. We watch and pray. And if necessary, we weep and pray. Because they don't know what they do. We know the Christ who is able to redeem. And we know where sin abounds, there's a lot more grace than they know about. Aren't you glad for that? That where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. And so what does Jesus say? He says to those who believe, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples and believe. Or my disciples indeed. Belief is sincere, but it also increases. Did you know I believe more now than I did when I started pastoring? Did you know I believe more now than the 8:30 service? I believe more now since I baptized two young ladies than I did before I baptized them. If God is able to talk to our children, there's hope. Didn't that bless you a lot? God's talking to our kids. Parents, doesn't that help you? God knows how to talk to your kid when you don't. So talk to him. And sometimes you can talk to him with your kids listening. I used to do that once in a while. Oh, God. Let me pray for you. But you know what? I caught them praying for me, too. Oh, God, help my dad. Isn't that a beautiful serendipity? Is there anything more blessed than your kids praying for you? That maybe you would get something that they have enjoyed. So we find out that in here, that in knowing Christ, that when a disciple hears his voice and they remain in his word, that the number one mark of a disciple is that they know the words of Jesus. That's what I know. I know his words. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. We recognize his words in this world. We just don't know his words. We obey the words. We live by them. And that's how they're brought into the world. Does that make sense? I just think about these stories and in the days that we can persevere because we believe in the word of God. We just don't quote it. We live those words and we persevere even when it means long suffering. Aren't you glad God helps you in the tough times? Amen. Tough times. The truth. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Knowing Jesus reveals great truth. It tells us about good and evil, light and darkness, blind and sight, dead and alive. Truth and lies, they all become clear, don't they? Because of the word of God. Without the word of God, lies become words we got to say to get out of trouble. Right? Freedom comes from good choices. Because you know the truth. Freedom is only possible when you know the truth. Sin has to lie. It can't tell you it's going to hold you captive until it kills you. It can't say that. It has to say, here's a pleasure, here's something you will enjoy. Taste it, doesn't it feel good? Until it kills you. Sin must lie. Only free men can make good choices. Evil only creates slaves. Evil will only hold you captive. It cannot set you free. So the people to say, hey, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anybody. How can you say you will be made free? I'm not sure if these people forgot about their history or they didn't want to refer back to it, but we know from reading the scriptures that for 400 years they were slaves in Egypt. For another 70 years they were enslaved by Babylon, and even right now in their sight, even when they're arguing with Jesus, there were standing Roman soldiers and they're saying, we're not captives. Ignore those guys. We're not captives. But don't look at the Romans. Don't remind us of Babylon. Don't remind us of Egypt. We are free men. We begin to understand that people without Christ are blinded by their own lies, aren't they? We are free men, except for the Roman soldiers. But in Christ Jesus, you are free, like Paul. Paul said, I'm free and I want you to be like me. Oh, except for these chains, of course. But I'm free with chains attached by the world. Because these chains mean nothing. Because Christ is Lord of all. Evil men are so blinded by their own lies, and their work betrays them when they claim to be spotless. We know that all have served the devil except Jesus. Every culture and even nature is subject to the prince of darkness. Our heart, mind, and body have been subject to evil until we are delivered by Jesus. Jesus sets us free. Most assuredly, he said, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. Every sin produces bondage. We might call it addiction. It is perpetual in nature. Sin cannot stop itself. We understand that from medicine, don't we? There are words that frighten us, such as cancer, but no one would ever think of just let it alone. It'll be fine when dealing with cancer. And God tells us there's something worse than cancer. It's called sin. Every sin weakens the body, shortens the life, and destroys the host. Every sin has slaves, and those who are bound to sin will receive the wages of sin, but Jesus Christ is the antidote for sin. He takes away the sin of the world. Through confession, the deliverer has come. Praise God, there is a Savior. And those people in that day did not understand it before the resurrection. Only after the resurrection can we come back and visit what he is trying to say. You will lift me up. What you do will demonstrate my words are true, one way or the other. And for us who have gathered here today, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free. Free from blindness, free from punishment, free from the love of sin, free from the dominion of sin. If Jesus sets you free, you are free. Free to be his disciple and free to follow him. Even when the chains are rattling, you are free. Free in Christ. Great story. It's the gospel. It's what we preach. It's what we believe. And only God can set us free. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us to be delivered? Help us to know the joy of sins forgiven, the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit poured out upon all flesh. Thank you for helping me to preach here today. Thank you for convicting men's hearts. And now I ask that you would hear their prayer, O God. May they experience grace and great grace. And may they go from here free men and women, young people, for your honor and glory. They are free at school. They are really free to live out their faith. They are free as we walk through the streets, and I ask that you would direct our steps, our thoughts toward you. Not just free to come here and worship, but we are free to follow you. Before I say that final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Someone you, God bless you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Want to raise your hand? I might be praying. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? If you want me to pray for you before you go, the altars are open. And as we say this benediction, if you would like to join us here that I might pray or bless you, that you would just come forward and we will pray until God's work is done in your life. Lord, thank you for inviting us to be here today. Thank you for those who have responded with a raised hand. You've heard their prayer, whether it's a prayer of confession or dependence or just extra strength in their journey of faith. Would you bless them? Let them know that you have grabbed their hand just like you grabbed Peter's hand when he said, Lord, save me. Grab hold of these hearts. Transform their lives. May their family and friends recognize Jesus at work in them. Thank you for making us free to serve you. And now we pray, O God, as we go from this place, that we would experience your continued presence until you come. May we be found faithful, abiding in your word, and your words abiding in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.